Greetings again, everyone. John V from Phone Arena here. You're watching our in-depth video review of the Samsung Gravity Smart. It's going to be available with T-Mobile for a two-year contract price of $70. It's actually the next step in the Gravity line of handsets on T-Mobile's lineup, which is primarily known for their text messaging devices. This time around, though, the Gravity Smart, as its name implies, is a smartphone running Android 2.2 Froyo. For starters, you can clearly tell that the Samsung Gravity Smart has some ties with its feature phone roots just because its design is rather boring, to tell you the truth. It's constructed out of plastic all around, which makes it very lightweight. At the same time, it does feel rather cheap as a whole, though. We like the soft touch feel of the back just because it looks clean at all times, but all in all, it's nothing really too appealing. What you get with the Samsung Gravity Smart is actually a tiny size 3.2-inch HVGA touchscreen, so it's 320 by 480 pixels. Honestly, it's decent, but you can still notice a little bit of fuzziness going on with tiny text. As far as color production, it looks a little bit on the washed out side. It sports some acceptable viewing angles, but its low brightness output can make it very hard to view in outdoor conditions. Below its touchscreen, it utilizes three evenly spaced Android capacitor buttons. We didn't have any issues as far as accidentally pressing them. The middle button here is a physical one, and it's actually the home button. Well, on the right edge, we have a raised dedicated power button, has a good tactile feel, and behind the plastic flap is the micro USB port. Meanwhile, on top edge, the only thing that we find is a 3.5mm headset jack. Exposing the handset's keyboard requires a little bit of force to open it up completely. Once you have that, you'll be greeted to its 4-row QWERTY keyboard layout. Buttons are oval in shape, and they're pretty decent in size, and they offer a pretty good tactile response when you press them down. They are kind of flat. Kind of difficult also to make out with your fingers. We would like to see an Alt and Shift key on the right hand side as well, just to make it balanced and a little bit more convenient. Overall though, speed typing is not too much of a problem with this one. Considering that it's deemed as a mid-range handset, it actually features an 800 MHz processor under the hood. It's actually the TouchWiz user interface running on top of Android 2.2 Froyo. For most basic operations, like navigating across the home screen, opening up apps, it's pretty much responsive, as you could tell. It doesn't really slow down that much, but unless you have a lot of applications loaded. You're still presented with all the rich personalization aspects of Android, but strangely enough, it's missing out on some of the Samsung widgets. Needless to say, when it comes to inputting text, the best method is using the physical keyboard, but if you want, you have also the on-screen one. It's worth mentioning that it's only a portrait option. There are no landscape keyboards available. With the Samsung keyboard here, you can tell it's pretty responsive, but it is rather cramped in space, so it might limit your speed. You also have the swipe keyboard on board as well. From low-end to high-end handsets, the Gmail experience is going to be the same, especially on this one here. Nothing too different about it. You're still presented with the rich features with it. As far as setup, it's pretty simple. Username and password, it automatically will set up. In some instances, it might require some additional pieces of information, though. When it comes to web surfing, it does take some time rendering paid, complex web pages like ours, but once it's fully loaded, the experience is pretty decent. You have some fluid kinetic scrolling. You can tell it also has pinch gestures that are pretty responsive. It doesn't offer flash support though, but besides that, it's still a decent experience. Relying on the conventional Android music player, it's pretty functional at its core when you're playing songs. As far as the audio quality with its speaker, it does put out a good amount of volume with its tones, but it does sound rather irritating and sharp at the loudest setting. Fortunately though, there are some equalizer settings to better fine-tune the audio quality. The video we have here is encoded MPEG-4, 720x40 resolution, and in fact, it is the highest resolution video file we could load with the handset. There is a little bit of delay as we're playing here. It might look smooth, but just the audio is a little bit off-sync. With the low-quality display, it doesn't make for the best experience. It's worth noting that the handset features a 3.2 megapixel fixed focus camera, so there's no autofocus in place. In terms of image quality with the handset, it's barely passable. In outdoor conditions, good lighting, details are kind of soft, which tends to make the images look kind of muddy. Color production can be often distorted as well, and tends to look overexposed as a whole. Indoors under low lighting situations, it's kind of grainy and fuzzy looking. Luckily though, the LED flash does a good job of brightening up the scenery. You can probably forget about taking videos with this handset just because it has maximum shooting resolution of 320 by 240 pixels, so that's QVGA videos only. Not only does it lack any detail, but it shoots at 14 frames per second, so pretty choppy, and overall the quality is quite abysmal. Call quality is not the best, but tolerable enough to accept with voices through the earpiece. It's not the strongest volume output, and on top of that, voices have sound a little bit reserved. On the other end, callers did say that our voice does sound rather crackly in tone. When you switch to using the speakerphone, though, it's kind of weak with its output, and at the same time, does sound muffled. Signal strength appears to be pretty good with the handset. It puts up a good amount of bars in high coverage areas, and our time testing it, it didn't drop any phone calls or it fluctuated in signal strength. Now experience battery life is pretty average with the handset. On a full charge, we managed to get 7 hours and 45 minutes of continuous talk time, so it should be good enough for some people. We've seen a little better with other handsets. In terms of everyday operation, using it for primarily text messaging, internet, and of course an occasional phone call, we're able to get at least a solid day, but it's worth mentioning you probably want to charge it up before you go to bed. Now the problem with the Samsung Gravity Smart is it's 2-year contract pricing of $70, so when compared to this to something like the T-Mobile Sidekick 4G, which is priced at $100, the $30 in difference in pricing is pretty dramatic. With the Sidekick 4G, it's basically the superior handset between the two, as the better specs, design, and also keyboard. If this was released at under $50, it would have been somewhat attractive, but taking into consideration its performance at subpar, it doesn't really help it out whatsoever. So if you'd like to learn more about the Samsung Gravity Smart, you can check it out at our website, phonearena.com. Thanks for watching, everyone.